just for the tape here. Lecture 12. Who is in charge of my inner genius? Controlling the world is the reality that there is an original purity and integrity. This original purity is the condition of absolute beneficialness. This original purity is an absolute expressing here. All of us would like to have our original purity and integrity expressing in our life. Now, none of us know what our original purity and integrity is. We have no idea what our original purity and integrity is, but we know it's good. Our original concept of who we are is the beautiful thing. Now, if we look at animals and we see how they have evolved or mutated through their centuries of existence, we are not always sure that we want to have our mutation take place in that way. But what are we talking about when we say our original purity and our original integrity? We're not talking about animal mutation. We're not talking about the change of people over the centuries and how they have changed and mutated to become the kind of people we are today. The mutation has nothing to do with your original purity and integrity. And, I might add, your original purity and integrity has nothing to do with your body. Your original purity and integrity has nothing to do with your body. It has nothing to do with your physical form. It is the concept on which you are brought into expression. And the concept on which we are brought into expression is an ideal concept. You look at the Bible and you say, that's the ideal man. No, that's not the ideal man. The ideal man cannot be tempted. The ideal man does not have desires that lead it astray. It does not. The ideal man is without reservation, perfect in every way. And that has nothing to do with his physical body. The physical body is merely the reflection of the thoughts that go on in our head, in our being, in our world, in ourself. Our original purity and integrity is the original concept, the original ideal self which we are. Now, let us consider what some of these original concepts might be. Think that your original concept of your eyes are what? Anyone want to say what it is? To see, yeah? Okay. The original concept of your eyes are to see. And that's not true. Because your eyes don't see. Your eyes have no capacity to see. Your eyes receive images. They receive vibrations, just like your ears. They receive vibrations. Your ears don't enjoy hearing sound. They hear the vibrations of sound. They report the vibrations and they act upon the vibrations. Your eyes act upon the vibrations of what is going on in the world around us. They create computers and screens, monitors for computers, that have millions and millions and billions of light pixels in them. Light of various degrees. You take a dog's ear or a dog's hearing capacity. A dog can hear, and don't quote me on this, but a dog can hear maybe 100 times, maybe 500 times better than a human can hear. Now, why does a dog hear so much more than a human? Because a dog has trained himself to hear better. He uses his ears And he uses the ability of his ears to interpret sound, interpret vibrations of sound, and know if good is around or not. So he can be protected, you might say. So, now, what comes of all this? These capacities of our brain, the capacity of our eyes, we see, but we don't see. The images are sent to our brain through our eyes, and the brain turns the scene upside down, because we see upside down according to what physics says we do. And as we see upside down, we don't really see what we see. We only see vibrations. We only interpret the vibrations. Now, why should the vibrations ever be misinterpreted? Why should the vibrations ever be misunderstood? Why should we ever know our vibrations and yet not know them? Why should that ever happen? Well, that happens because we do what? We translate what we see. We translate what we hear. We don't return to our original purity and integrity. We don't think of ourselves hearing the divine, hearing the ideal. An autistic child who plays the piano and is just a couple of years old, he sits at the piano, he hears the music once, and then he plays it. And plays it note perfect. He hears the music once and plays it note perfect. How can he do that? How can a dog hear virtually miles away sound and respond to it? How can a dog's nose, the scent of his ability to sense, be so fantastic that he smells things that we don't even begin to perceive or even present? We do not live in a human body. We live in our ideal spirit, mind, and body. We live in our ideal self, our original purity and integrity. Now, to live in this original purity and integrity and to experience the original purity and integrity means that we are alert to who we are. Now, basically, we're all a bunch of monkeys. We're all a bunch of low-level quadrupeds that are bipods that are walking around doing whatever we're doing, and it's crazy how we're doing it because we're not doing it very intelligently. We're doing it just because it is what we do. And then, all of a sudden, like the prisoners in the Second World War who were in a prisoner of war camp, and they had nothing to do. They're bored to tears. So one guy mentally built a piano, in his cell. And every day he would sit down at his piano and he would play music on his piano, and he didn't know how to play music. He didn't know how to play the piano, but he would play music on his piano. And as far as he is concerned, he played some pretty nice stuff. Another man, he played golf. Now, he had never played golf. He didn't know the rules of the game. All he knew is you hit the ball and it goes where you want it to go. And, of course, that's the ideal. And he was doing the ideal. So this man played golf in his cell. Every day he played. And when he was released, he went to a golf course back at his hometown in the United States, and he played golf. And he played terrific. He had trained himself how to play golf terrifically. What is the purpose of playing golf? The purpose of playing golf is to hit a ball and have it go where you want it to go. Whether it's a putt and you're putting on the putting green, whether it's a stroke on the range or from the driving range or from the tee, however the ball is supposed to go, you look where the ball is going, not where the ball is on the ground, and then the ball goes there. This is how all great true golfers do it. Psychiatrists take a person and work with them in their psychiatry office for years and years and years. They make a mint off of them. Golf teachers, trainers, people who train people to play golf, teach people how to stand and how to hold the club and how to hold their hands, how to hold their feet and how to look up and how to look back and how to have their... It's a clown activity. The real golfer is the one who sees the ball here and sees where he wants to put it. He strikes it with a club and the ball goes where he wants it to go. He's not concerned about the how and wherewithal, but merely that it goes where he wants it to go. And that goes there. And it goes there. Well, this fellow who played the piano in his prison cell as a prisoner of war, when he came home, he didn't know how to play the piano. But he played the piano. He played the piano in his home, and he played it beautifully. He played it wonderfully. He didn't need to know the rules of the game. He didn't need to know how other people did it. What did he play? What is it you do when you play piano by ear? You hear the note in your mind, in your brain, if you will, and then you play that note. Now, what are people who play, who type with two fingers? They're called hunt and peckers. They hunt for the key and peck it. They hunt for the key and they peck it. And they type a letter or do anything else like that, just a two-finger typing. Now, they hunt for the key and they peck it. A person who is playing the piano by ear is a hunt and pecker. But he's a sophisticated hunt and pecker. He looks for the sound, which the key doesn't make until you hit it. He looks for the sound, and when he hears the sound that that note is going to give him, he touches the key. He pecks the key. He knows that, and he plays beautifully. And sometimes he will run three or four sets of keys, and he'll do arpeggios, and he'll do all sorts of beautiful things that are absolutely magnificent. Now, he's returning to his original purity and integrity. He's being unlimited. He is playing the piano and doing beautifully. And they do it. They're in the scientific and the psychiatric journals all about this all the time, where these things are happening. Now, we want to return to our original purity and integrity. And how do we return to our original purity and integrity when we don't even know what it is? We know it's good. We know it is the excellence of us. Now, we stop and think, what is our original purity and integrity? Is it our pure and integral body, our integral mind, our eyes, our nose, ears? Is it the physical? Is it the mental? Is it the spiritual? What is it? It is the spiritual. It is the ideal which never changes. And that is what we tune into. Now, when we tune into that, we're going to hunt and peck until we find what it is that is our ideal. Now, the dog is laying there, and it senses something. It senses something that it cannot perceive, but it senses it. So then it alerts its nose to smell whatever it senses. And it alerts its eyes to have a visual image of what it senses. Why do cats see so beautifully in the dark? Because they have alert perceptual sensitivity in the dark. It is fantastic. So, our original purity and integrity transcends all the physical body, all the mental body, and is revealed to us on a spiritual level. Now, we say, how do we tune in to our spiritual level to tune in our original purity and integrity? How do we tune in to it? We've been talking about it pretty much all this week. And what it is how do we what? Anybody got the name, word?
Introspect.
How do we meditate? How do we meditate? When you listen within, like the dog is listening within to his inner sensitivity for whatever it is out there that he's sensing, he is turning on his original purity and integrity and going beyond all natural senses and being aware of it. Now, does he do this all the time? Yes. He does this often. My dog oftentimes barks or grunts at something that's off in the bushes, maybe a mile away. Some international traveler traveling through our property in the middle of the night. And he's aware of it. But he's better aware of the other part. He is aware of the Border Patrol, the International Border Patrol, because they're driving on our property too. They come on our property in the middle of the night and they got their lights of their vehicle on and they got their horn. Hey, Joe, did you see anybody? Hey, ho! And my goodness sakes, if anyone were around, they would just lay low and let those people go by, which is a simple way to do it. And the international travelers are exquisite at knowing how to escape the Border Patrol. All they do is listen and shut up and lay down, and Border Patrol goes away, and then they continue on their way into the United States. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Only thing I object to is when they start bringing drugs across. Then I want nothing to do with them on our property. They don't belong there at all, and we don't have them. So, but Rex senses the Border Patrol, and he senses the anxiety of the Border Patrol. Now, a lot of the young fellows in the Border Patrol are sort of afraid at night. They're afraid they're going to get shot. They're afraid they're going to deal with drug people who are not going to give up easily. They're afraid of a lot of things. And this fear transmits to the dogs. And the dog, rawr, rawr, fear is going through. Rawr, rawr, rawr. And then other Border Patrol drivers go by, and they're cool guys. They handle it when it happens. When it's necessary to be alert mentally and emotionally, they're alert mentally and emotionally to somebody coming as a drug smuggler or international traveler. And so then they go after them at that time. But before then, they're just driving along, smoking their cigarettes, which they shouldn't be doing on our property. And they're driving along and just relaxed, and who knows, they may even have their iPhones on, not iPhone, but iPad, pods, listening to music, which doesn't make them very good researchers for international travelers, but who cares? So you see, how do they use their original purity and integrity? How is Rex using his original purity and integrity? He senses these things. You sense these things. Okay, I said meditation a few moments ago. How do we use meditation to be aware of and utilize our original purity and integrity? Good question. How do we use meditation to be aware of our original purity and integrity? We use meditation by being still, and by being quiet, by letting go totally, by having nothing to do with what's going on. We listen in our heart. We listen in our soul. My son is in his room, and he had a fright. Something bothered him. And so I went over to him, and I said, "There, there, Mark, all is okay." And he looked at me, he said, "Oh, Dad, I feel so good when you're here, you know." And so I said, "Just relax now. Just relax." And I said, "Now we'll have the Sandman come and put pixie dust on you and let you have happy, happy dreams. Now you got happy, happy dreams, and you're wonderful." So little by little, he drifts off to sleep. Now when he drifts off to sleep, is he going to have happy dreams? Oh, yes, he is. Is he going to have the nightmares that he had before? No. They're not nowhere around. He is going into his original purity and integrity, and when his nose senses anything, or his ears sense anything, or his eyes sense anything, he will immediately call it good and very good, and it will not be disturbing to him. He will be at peace. He will be peace. So, I work with these things. I work with these people. I work with the international travelers. I work with all these people because they come into my consciousness. And the first thing I do is I go into a state of meditation and I say, peace, 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 and I am relaxed. And then the awareness of these circumstances come up and I say simply, I surround you with my pure white light of love and all your ways are peace and all your paths are pleasantness and you go them now. You go them now. And in an instant, they're gone. In an instant, peace reigns. In an instant, all is in right order. Now, why didn't we do it from the beginning? Why didn't we go to our original purity and integrity from the beginning? We don't go to our original purity and integrity from the beginning because we are trained to look for the trouble first rather than look for the solution. Look how you're going to maneuver and control and manage these things rather than peace. What does it say on the back of your car?
All my ways are peace.
Say it loud so we can
all my ways are peace.
Oh my goodness, how wonderful. All my ways are peace. Now what does that mean? All your ways are peace. Whether it's driving or sitting or talking, whether it's eating, whether it's playing anything, all your ways are peace, and that's what it's all about. You see, that's what it's all about. And so long as all your ways are peace, what happens to you? You live in a peaceful world. You live in your original purity and integrity. You want to get into your original purity and integrity. You want to be part of it, aware of it, and utilize it. Well, that's how you do it, by letting go and letting God. Letting go and letting yourself into this meditative state and not try to understand what's making the boogeyman out there for my son. Not try to understand what makes the Border Patrol man uptight and tense. Was he tense before he came or was he tense after he got there? What made him tense? We don't want to understand it. Because if we try to understand it, then we empower it to continue to be in our life and our world. And if we want to empower it to continue to be in our life and our world, what happens to us is it's our problem. It's our destruction. You speak your word. All is in divine order right now. Okay? All is in divine order right now. And then you let go. And you go on to whatever is next. You do this continuously until it becomes a habit with you. And as it becomes a habit with you, then the circumstances that distress you have no power, have no presence for you. You are free of them because they don't exist for you. They don't exist for you. So often people come to me with problems and I say, what result do you want? And they tell me the problem. I say, what results do you want? And they tell me the problem. And I say, what results do you want? And they tell me the problem. I say, what results do you want? And they tell me the problem. And I say, okay. So, if your problem is having one broken leg, you want to have two broken legs, and so let's work on that. No, no, no! Well, that's what you're saying. You want to stay with the problem. You want to repeat the problem again and again and again, and you want to have the problem again and again, and you will have that problem again and again and again, so long as that's what's in your mind. That's what's foremost in your thinking. That's what's foremost in your world. It's up to you. Totally. Now, is that what you want to do? Is that how you want to live your life? If that's how you want to have every experience that goes on in your world?
Yes.
Really, is that what you want to do? How do we know and enjoy our original purity and integrity? Now, let's first say our original purity and integrity is how we were designed to be. How were you designed to be mentally, physically, spiritually? My original purity and integrity. How were you designed to be? Were you designed to have problems?
No.
Were you designed to have a car that's a lemon? Were you designed to have a body that's a lemon that's not really functioning perfectly?
No.
Well, you have a lemon for a body if you think that the problem is the reality. If you think that the problem is merely something that you're going to release and let go, when you release it and let it go, along with it goes all that the problem is. And you go back into your meditation after cleaning the house and sweeping the door and getting it out the way, and then you go back to your meditation, and your meditation says, hi, what you doing? You know, well, I'm doing just fine. Well, gee, I haven't seen you for a long time. What do you mean you haven't seen me? I've been in here 100 times just today. Oh, really? I haven't seen you. I have no idea. And you say, but you're a potted plant. I took you home. You're this, you're that. You've been in my world. No. I have been in my world. Right now, because you're in my world, I am in your world. Right now, because you have changed your attitude about yourself, you changed your thinking about yourself, we are in the same level of consciousness. And that's beautiful. So, when you think those things and do those things and are those things, you have those things. Do you want to do that? Do you want to have those things? Do you want to have wholeness and perfection? If you do, then do your homework. Do your homework. Now, I will say to you, each one of you has been given certain requests by me to speak positive words for yourself, to write down positive things for yourself, and to have positive attitudes in your mind. Now, how many of you did that? And we won't ask you. But how many of you did that? And virtually none of you. None of you, because you think this is just a lark. You think this is just a pleasant experience coming here and seeing me talk and share with you and say things to you. You think that's just pleasant. It's not a real responsibility of yours. Your real responsibility is to recognize that you are God. Your real responsibility is to recognize that you are the creator of your universe. You're the creator of your world, and you create it by your thought, and your thought is always pure and good. Now, do you believe that?
Yes.
And if you believe that, practice it. And if you practice it, the results are that you are living in your original purity and integrity. And it's no more difficult than that. You will not have to train yourself like a dog to hear or like a cat to see. You will not have to train yourself to have these special features about living that make you more alert. Because you are alert. You are alert right now, and you're not training yourself to be it. You are aware right now. You are fantastic right now. Okay? When do you want to have your $1 million, Mr. OK?
Right now.
Oh, he says right now. Mr. OK?
Yes.
May I pull your leg for a moment?
Do.
I didn't hear, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. OK, when do you want to have your $1 million?
Right now.
Mrs. OK, when do you want to have your $1 million? What's your answer? When do you want to have your $1 million?
I'm not Mrs. OK.
No, no, no. You're playing the game with me, aren't you? Yeah, I'm playing the game. I mean, he's got enough Mrs. OK's at home. Okay, now, what do you say when I say, Would you like your $1 million?
I already have it.
And you forget the already.
I have it.
I have it. I already have it. That means you've been spending it already. I have it. You see, the I have it phrase is without reference, without anything, and it's done. Do you have it?
I have it.
Do you have it?
I have it.
Do you have it?
I have it.
You like it?
I have.
Do you have it?
I have it.
You going to buy some more chicken? You have it?
I have it.
What are you spending it on?
On myself.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. Good thing. Keep it there. Do you have it?
I have it.
You have it?
I have it.
You have it?
I have it.
And do you? Mr. OK, do you have it?
Yes.
Why didn't you say that right away instead of saying...
I have it.
There you go. So, I have it. Now, are you whole and perfect?
Yes.
When will you be whole and perfect?
Now.
I am. I am.
No, not as of now.
I am the wholeness.
You what?
I am wholeness. I am wholeness.
Your wholeness?
I am wholeness.
Okay, if that means something to you. But you are whole and perfect. Yeah, you are wholeness. That's sort of a heavy phrase to use, and it boggles you down before you even get to understanding what you're saying. I am whole and perfect. I am wholeness. I am... You understand what I'm trying to say? I'm saying everything you can do to make short your statement and make it powerful and make it a now situation... Then you experience it.
Yes.
Yes. When are you a millionaire?
No.
What's that?
Now.
Now. Okay. Why did you point down at the hole in the floor? Now.
Now.
Now. Down, boy. Down, boy. I'm a millionaire now. That's okay. That's right. That's right. Jump in my arms, son. Yeah. You see, this is what living in the now is all about. This is what knowing your original purity and integrity is all about. And it's not a joke at all. It's not something that we wish were so, you know, and it's just too good to be true. It is not that. It is that it is done now. And just like Manuel over there, he's got all sorts of things he wants to put his money in, but he doesn't dare say anything about it because... He wants to give the right answer to our questions. And he thinks the right answer to our questions is not particular details about being a multimillionaire. Now, Emmanuel,
yes.
What does it mean to you to live in your original purity and integrity body?
It means I like me.
Could you say anything better? That sounds good to me. How does it feel to live in your original purity and integrity? I like me. I obviously like me very much. I think it is great. You cannot even describe how it feels to live in your original purity and integrity. So you say, I like me. Yeah, and that's great. Now, remember that. Remember that under all circumstances. And say it under all circumstances, enjoy it under all circumstances, and be it, because you're fantastic. You're each so receptive. And what about you, Mr. Peter?
I like myself.
You like yourself. Okay. Now, what sort of experiences have you been having as we've been sharing these thoughts?
Fantastic. Very good.
You may ad lib if you like.
Wonderful. Peace. Love. Harmony.
Why harmony? Why love?
I'm seeing love here. Unconditional love.
That's great. And what happens when you feel love?
Happiness.
You feel belonging, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You feel happiness, you feel belonging. You see, these things, while they're not mental and not physical, they're spiritual, we interpret them mentally and physically. And that's okay. That's okay. We don't have to worry about it. All you want to do is make sure that it's universal. When you make sure that your treatment work and your activity work and all the things that you're doing is universal, when you make sure of that, then what happens is that every day of your life is another day in paradise. You can leave paradise, all of us. We can leave paradise if we want. And what happens when we leave paradise?
From food every day.
Everything goes kaput.
From food every day.
Mm-hmm. And that's not what we want to do, is it?
That's what we want.
When you leave paradise, you don't want everything to go bad, do you?
No, nothing. Nothing.
You take paradise with you.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. When you leave the Garden of Eden, you take the Garden of Eden with you.
Whatever.
You know? Whatever. And you take the tree of the knowledge of good and evil with you. And what do? Just for the fun of it, how play a game with what would you do if you were leaving the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Paradise, of the Garden of Eden, yeah. What would you do with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? What would you do? Would you feel a responsibility to do something about it?
Yes.
Yeah? What would you do?
I would enjoy it. It's my creation.
You would what?
I'd enjoy the fruits there.
You would enjoy creation. The knowledge of good and evil from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?
That'd be good. Huh?
Well, you're a better man than I assure you. It's wonderful. No, the thing is, you are leaving the Garden of Eden. I mean, this is all sort of interesting story stuff. But you're leaving the garden. And so you don't want to leave anything lying around the garden that some little child is going to come and mess up with, or some adult is going to come and mess up with, or some animal is going to come and mess up with. So the first thing you do is you change the serpent back into a human being. Okay? The serpent is supposed to be that which gave the apple to Eve. And the serpent's not a bad thing. I mean, that's a bad rap for snakes, you know. They don't deserve it. They're not all bad. In fact, they're not bad at all. They protect themselves, and they bite you, and because they bite you, you think they're bad. A dog bites you, protecting himself, and you're not really worried about him if he doesn't do it all the time. Well, snakes don't bite all the time. Snakes want to get away from you more than they want to be with you because they're not sure about you. Okay, now, how do you handle that? You handle that by saying, all right, we'll take all the snakes and return them to who they are. And a snake is a person, according to the story of the Bible. A snake is the person who was offering the apple to Eve. And so, cool. I'm not telling you judgment on the story. I'm just telling you how you make these things into something that is beneficial to you. Okay. You're leaving the Garden of Eden, and you're leaving paradise, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is there. Now, you can saw it down, you can burn it up, and of course then all of the essences of the knowledge of good and evil gets out in the air and gets everywhere, like poison ivy and poison oak. So that's not what you want either. So you say, all is in divine order right now. All the knowledge of good and evil is in divine order right now. The knowledge of good and evil is no more a problem for anybody, anywhere, in any world. Nowhere. Because I'm in charge. Because I take charge. Because I say what's in charge. I say that all the knowledge, there is not knowledge of good and evil. I say that because I'm creating it that way. There is not knowledge of good and evil. And so it's all just knowledge and beautiful knowledge and wonderful knowledge. Can you do that? You can do anything you want to do. You can create it in any way you want to create it, and it's up to you to do that if you wish. Now, do you wish to do that? And maybe you do, maybe you don't. A lot of times, we don't create it that way because we think we haven't the right to do that. Well, you do. Anything, now this is important, anything that comes into your world and you are aware of it and you feel it has value or you feel it has a detriment and you make the choice to push it on or release it out and let it be no more, you make the choice to have it be continued in your world or not continued, and then that's done. But you make the choice. And if you make the choice not to continue it, then it will do what? It will atrophy. It will become nothing. It will just disappear into the allness and nothing, which many things are in the allness and nothing, and it need never return. We want a spiritual wholeness, like our friend here, O.K., tells us. We want wholeness. We want our spiritual reality. We return to our original purity and original integrity. And then what happens? When we have our original purity and our original integrity, what we have is all in divine order. All in divine order. Now, I ask you, does the evil from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil sort of thing, does it have to come back?
No.
Why would it ever come back? Because we think about it. We empower it and it becomes a reality. It comes back. Why would it come back? Not because it wants to or doesn't want to. It does not have the capacity to choose whether it wants to or not. So, do you want it back? Do you want it back?
No.
No. I would like to think that. So, what happens now to you? What happens now to you?
Demand of the presence.
What? Ho, 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 ho. What a fabulous attitude. Ho, 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 ho. What if you saw some kids somewhere and you started saying, mind your own business, what would they do? What would they do? Now, remember, I think that you're God. I think you're a genius. I think you know all answers. I think that you're on top of everything. And so when I say to you, which you already read in the book, I say to you, it's up. Whatever you say is done. And then you say, oh boy, how am I going to get rid of it? How am I going to control it? Yes, how are you going to get rid of it?
I see divine order every time.
I'm sorry?
Divine order at all times.
The what?
All is well.
All is well, yes. And that's what you say? Okay, now, this situation comes up in your life and it says to you that it is the evil of the tree of good and evil from paradise. And it's sort of in your pocket. And you take out your pocket and here's the apple. And you say, how did you get in there? You know? Snow White with the rotten apple. How'd you get in there?
How did you get in? I don't want to know how you got in.
What's that?
What I think it is. What it is, not how it got in.
Articulate in English a little bit.
What it is, not how he got in.
What house is it going into?
No. What it is to me.
Oh, it's in your possession.
Yes,
that's
it's
what
already
it is.
In my possession. Now, I determine.
It's still in your possession.
Yes.
Now, what are you going to do about it?
I determine what I want it to be.
All right, what do you want to do with it? Stop talking about it and tell me what you want to do.
Oh, I eat it because it's purity.
What?
I eat it because it's purity.
You eat the apple of the tree
not
of the knowledge?
Not of is. I eat the apple of purity. I say it
you
is
you eat
divine.
The apple of truth?
Purity, truth.
Unity.
No attachment.
Purity.
Yeah.
Well, we're not handling apples of purity and goodness right now. We're handling the apple of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I'm having you play a game.
Yeah.
And you're making up your own game.
Okay.
And that's just fine. You can make up your own game anytime you want, as long as you don't have me around. And if you got me around, then you play my game. Okay, now. What do you do with the apple of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil when you are done with that adventure? You let the apple atrophy, shrivel up into nothing. It becomes dust and it becomes nothing and it's gone forever. Is that possible?
Sure. Because it's my world. What I say matters.
Yeah, there's no power involved here. You're letting nature do its thing of drying up the apple and having it be nothing. Now, you might rush it along by heating it, but the thing is, you let nature do its thing. You don't want to touch the apple. You don't want that evil on you in your consciousness, because that would be your attitude. You don't want to eat it because you don't want that in your constitution. You are free of that. Well, what do you want?
Divine order.
Well, you got that all right. But what do you want with the apple?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
You want the apple to be atrophied. You want to make sure that it is no longer around. As long as it's in your attention, it's in your awareness, it's in your life, you are master of it. You are in charge. Now, if you go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and you say, I want nothing to do with it, and you go away,
release,
then it's not your challenge. But as long as you're playing with it and picking up the apple and talking about it and doing things with it, then it's your challenge. And if it's your challenge, then you do something about it. Now, if you think, and this is what we think a lot of times, if you think that burning the apple and making it just charcoal is going to make it go away, well, you're wrong. It just puts it into the universe.
Yeah.
And so we have to be very careful about that, what we think we're going to do. But if we let it atrophy and become nothing, it becomes just dust and then eventually not even dust. It's just nothing. And this is what we want. So now, we are seeking to take the talent of the dog to have nose sensitivity, to have ear sensitivity, to have eye sensitivity, to have all sorts of things. And we're taking that and we're saying that this is something we want to be aware of. We want to be aware of how we can use it in our life properly. And we use it in our life properly by always being the master of it. And if we are not there, if we are not doing that there, then we're going to experience it in our life. Now, sir, you and I are going to take a trip right now. We're going to go on an introspective trip. And we're going to go within, and we're going to take all of the apples from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we're going to be creators. Each one of you told me how to do this, so that's how I learned how to do it. We're going to be creators. We're going to take the apples, and we're going to revert in time to back in the time, point of time, where the apples are not anywhere. The apples are no longer in existence. They are back in time before they existed, and they're no longer there. They just don't exist. Somebody else come along and create them, they can. And experience them, they can. But they don't have to. We don't have to. You see, we are the creator of our world. And no matter what crazy situation comes up, we can put a new cause in motion so that we're not disturbed by it anymore. We can put a new cause in motion that we send it back into its infinity, into its nothingness. We send it back on the time machine of life, and throop, it's gone. It's gone. We have a great power. We have a great capacity to do anything we wish. But we don't do it because of one thing. Because we think we're stepping on somebody's toe. Now, just an illustration. I have the power to know good and evil. And I don't want that power. And so I'm at the point where I know it's right here. I got the power of good and evil. And I don't want that. I only want good. So I stop right where I am and I say, I am master of myself. And I say this, and this is a very powerful statement. I say, I am the power of good. Not at all times, not now, not everything. I am the power of good, and that's all that exists. I am the power of good. What stops? What starts? Where are we at? What's the important thing here? Where do we stand? I am the beginning, and I am the end. So, all the evil is gone. All that which is undesirable by us is no longer in our world because we have released it, and now we only claim that we are good. Can you do that?
Yes.
The answer is yes. Do you want to do that?
Yes.
Maybe. It's not as exciting as having all that evil around, but it's a lot more rewarding.
Repeat the sentence again. I am the power of good. Can you repeat the sentence, please? I am the power of good. How do you say it?
I am the power of good? Did you say?
No, that is, I want you to repeat it.
You want me to repeat, I am the power of good?
What you said.
What did I say?
I am power of good. Oh, I am the power of good.
I am the power. Well, I am not associated with anything other than good. I am the power of good. And everything that I think about is surrounded by the good that I am. Everything that is in my world is the good that I am, and I am the good. Now, this is what makes us have the experiences we want to have. It's what makes us have all the experiences we want to have all of the great and wonderful beingnesses that we want to have, but we have to take charge. Now, let's throw another point in there just for a second. Can you change your mind? Can you say, I am the power of bad and be the power of bad? Can you say, I am the power of good and be the power of good? Not both at the same time, but can you say either or either, either? Yes, you can.
Yes, but not necessary.
Yes, you can. But why would you say, I am the power of evil?
It's not necessary.
Huh?
It's not necessary.
It's not a matter of not necessary. You would not say that because you do not want that in your consciousness. So as you're building your consciousness and living your consciousness, say only those things which you believe are true about yourself. Say only those things which reflect who and what you are. And when you do that, then you are that. It is done. It's great. This is an interesting concept, an interesting attitude, but more so, what do you do about it? Where do you stand on it? What is it that's in your life? Do you say, I like me? Or do you say, I got problems?
I like me.
Okay. Then let's take, I got problems, and release it and never see it again. Are you rich?
Yes. Yes.
Are you whole and perfect?
Yes.
Are you the most desirable, beautiful being in the universe?
Yes.
Yes. You see, keep saying these things about yourself, and you will demonstrate these things about yourself. It's just as simple as that. But it's up to you to do that. Any comments or questions before we take our pause and get ready for our last session? Oh, well, this, we'll take that in the discussion part, okay? Or you want to touch it now? Let's see what he has so wisely created here. Okay. What purpose does snake and mosquito serve mankind, being they are not useless?
Creations.
They're not useless creations. All right? What purpose is anything in this world that you might call not necessary or unbeneficial? We have that as our part of our topic here, too. What purpose is it? Think about it. Yeah. This original purity is a condition of absolute beneficialness. This original integrity and absolute expressing right here. Okay. We have created in our world negative thoughts, negative attitudes, and negative conditions. Now, we want to recreate or create new the world with no unbeneficial thoughts, no negative thoughts, no anything that's contrary to ours. How do we go about doing it? Peter, how do you go about doing it?
You put the cause in motion.
That's fine. What is the cause you were going to put in motion?
I'm good.
That has nothing to do with the negative things you want to get out of your world. you have, all right, let's say you're sitting in your garden and a host of mosquitoes come surrounding you and they look at you and say, dinner time, here's this beautiful, rich-blooded character who makes wonderful blood. It's dinner time for the mosquitoes. And you know this, you can hear them buzzing. What's your first thought?
Wait.
What's your first thought? It's not that, of course. What's your first thought?
I will say, my friends. I call them my friends. Please go away from here. I have a business here. Then we move.
Okay.
They are my creation. You are my creation. You are harmless. You are peace. You are divine order.
Well, now, what is O.K. saying there?
Yes,
is he saying that he's in charge or they're in charge?
He's in charge.
He's in charge.
All right, now, if you think they're hungry and they should go somewhere else, they'll stop and have a nip before they go. If you think that they're evil and they should not hang around you, let your blood alone, they're going to stop and fill up their tank before they take off. They're going cross country, you know. Now, if that's what you think, and that's not what you want to think, what you want to think is, I am the master of all. I am surrounded by every good and beautiful thing. I am every good and beautiful thing. I am surrounded by perfect creatures of perfectly divine creatures of all time. Now, does that include a mosquito? Is a mosquito, in your mind, a divine creature that you want in your world?
No.
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 Do you want scorpions and rattlesnakes and stinger ants in your world?
No.
No, you don't want those things. And you're not against them. As I was walking my path with my guests at the ranch, rattlesnakes would come along. And I would say, now look, you guys, I told you, out, out, out. We're walking this path and you disturb my guests. Now go away, please. And they turn around and go away. Now I could go over and stomp on them and kill them and so forth, But that would only be one or two out of many. Why do that? It doesn't even make me happy to kill. It doesn't even make me happy to kill. I just release them and let them go. You release them and let them go. Yep, you can do anything you want. Have any experience you want. Have any circumstance you want. Are these mosquitoes, are these bugs so susceptible to your choice, to your words, to your decision, that they instantly respond? Do they?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, what do you say to them? I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, get out of here. No, you don't say that. You give them lots of power that way. You say, okay, boys, you've had a chance to see how nice this side of the tracks looks. Now, go home. Go home. You got acres and acres out there. You got just hundreds of things to do. You got the Border Patrol to go and pester. You got the international travelers to go and pester. Go cling to them and get around them. No, you don't say something like that. That right, Phil? That's not very nice. No, you just say to them, hey, go. Go. You're in charge. Now you have said go. And now it's tomorrow. And you're going out again. And so when you go out, you say, I surround myself with the pure white light of love. All my ways are peace and all my paths are pleasantness, and I'm surrounded by all that is good and beautiful. Will you have a mosquito? Will you have anything around you? No. My neighbor had a set of beehives, a whole bunch of them, maybe 12 of them. And I walk around my property naked, and I'm soaking up the sun, and I'm just enjoying it. And sometimes I'm adjacent to his property. And he saw me, and he says, Herb, how you doing? I said, fine. He says, I want to show you something. So I walked from where I was to where he was, which was right through the middle of his beehives. I was naked, you know. And so I walked through the beehives. I like me. I surround myself with a pure white light of love. Nothing touches me ever that it shouldn't. Only when I let my guard down or have anger or something like that, I sometimes have to get my mind back quickly on duty. So I walked over and talked to him, and he said, ah, I hadn't noticed you were naked. And he knew that I was, and he said, how did you get over here? And I said, I came right here. He said, you can't have, because those bees are swarming right now, and they would eat you up. And I said, well, why would they eat me up? Well, because they're swarming. Well, why would that have anything to do with, am I part of their swarm? No. Then why would they have anything to do with, they were not in my consciousness, they were not in my world, they were not my choice. You understand? And because they were not in my world, in my consciousness, in my choice, I did not have to fight them. I did not have to have them as a challenge for me. It was just, they were there, and they was there, and I was walking through the middle. Now, I have done that more than once. But the thing is, how can I do that? I do that by surrounding myself with the pure white light of love, and all my ways are peace, and all my paths are pleasantness, and that's what they are. They are peace, and they are pleasantness. It's up to you what you want. It's up to you. I told you one time I was walking with this lady on the top of the mountain, and we looked down, and her son, who was about 7 or so, was going along the valley and through the pathways, and there was a stick laying across the path. And we both recognized that the stick was a great big rattlesnake. And the dogs and cats and the boy were going to jump over the stick at that moment. And she started to say, ah! I said, shush up. Don't you say a word. Surround him with your pure white light of love, and it's done. Well, she did, with a little hesitation, she did, and because there's nothing else she could do. If she had shouted and made him frightened, then they would have got him. But he just danced along and jumped over the snake and walked his way, and after he and the dogs and cats had all jumped over the snake just walked, slid slowly off of the path into the bushes. It was not frightened. It had no terror. It had no anxiety. And it just went away. And when it went away, what happened? All was in divine order. We live in a world where we're either in charge or we're not in charge. And if we're in charge, we're surrounded by the pure white light of love. Did you ever surround yourself by the pure white light of love?
Yes.
You should be doing it every day. Be doing it every time you get in your car, every time you get on your bike, every time you walk down the roads. You should be doing it every time you think about it, every time you eat. I surround myself by the pure white light of love. Therefore, all the food I eat is healthy food. All the water I drink is healthy water. All the air I breathe is wonderful, dynamic, vibrant, healthy air. Make sense?
Yes.
That's what it's all about.
Thank you.
You're fantastic.
Thank you.
Yes. Did we answer your note there? Or did we put it aside to start the next talk? Or are we on the next talk already? You said, are they useless? Do you think anything in this world is useless?
No.
What's the first thing in this world that's useless if you think anything is useless? You. Name it, claim it, enjoy it, experience it, and have the time of your life. Life is wonderful. Life is fantastic. Any other comments or questions or interesting desires to share by any of you? We want our original purity and integrity in our life. And the only way we're going to have our original purity and integrity in our life is when we claim it. If I give you all of the goodness of the universe and you don't claim it, I think I told you the story about the guy who walked by a pot of gold, didn't I? Did I tell you the story about the guy who walked by the pot of gold? Nice story. It was a man, and he lived in the country. And every day when he came home from work, he would go across a little bridge and then go down the little lane to his house. And he was the only one down there. And so a wealthy man had noticed that this man walked along there and that he would go home every night and he would have very little to eat and very little to share with his family. And he wanted to share his good with him. And so he said to the priest, what can I do to share good with him? And the priest says, well, you can't give him money. He's too proud to take money from you. But if he found it, then that'd be different. That'd be different. He'd accept money that he found. And so the man says, okay, what do you suggest? Well, put it in the middle of the road, in the middle of the bridge that he crosses over, and he's the only guy that crosses over it, you know, but put it right in the middle where he'll be sure to see it, just before he comes home from work. So they put it in the middle of the road, in the middle of the bridge, just before he came home from work, and then they moved over and hid in the bushes. And then this man came along. And this man was saying to himself, I love my children. I love my children. I love to play with my children. They're so wonderful. My children are such a delight to my heart. My children are more to me than gold, more to me than anything in the world. I am so happy with my family. I am so happy. And then he stood at the beginning of the bridge and he said to himself, when I go home, I am going to tell my children how far I walked from the beginning of the bridge toward our house with my eyes closed and see just how far I can go. And so he closed his eyes at the beginning of the bridge, walked across the bridge, didn't see the pot of gold, and he walked on down the road, and he got down there to where the rabbi and the rich man was, and they stepped out of the bushes and they said, friend, did you just come down that road? And he said, yes. Did you see anything in the road? No. I tell you the truth, I was playing a game that I'm going to play with my children when I get home. And the game is, I am going to see how far I can walk with my eyes closed and still stay on the road. Oh, how wonderful. And I'm going to tell my children about it and show them what fun that is. And it doesn't cost any money for a game like that, you know. So the rabbi and the rich man were beside themselves. They did not know how to give this poor man money because he always was one step. He didn't really need it. He lived an abundant life with the joy and the love of his children and the love of his family. And he was just absolutely marvelous. You see, we want to write the story our way. For you to write the story and say that he found the money and that he and his children and his wife lived happily ever after. That's what we want to say, you know. But the story that says what we said is more profound, more dignified, more magical, more unnecessary, showing that the money was not what made the man happy. What made the man happy was the joy of his family. Now, can you say the same thing? Or do you say, well, I would like the money too. We could certainly use both. Well, now, this man, what kept him from getting the money? And that is his pride. He didn't believe that he was penniless. He didn't believe he didn't have any money. He didn't believe that he was out of order. He was in order. He was fantastic. And because he was fantastic, what happened? Everything worked out for him. And everything works out for you too when you're in order. It does. Now, why is it that everything works out for you when you're in order?
Because that is the only thing I see. That is in my consciousness.
You are your own master. And when you are in order, then everything in your life is in order. And when you're not in order, what you have done is you have closed your eyes when you walked across the bridge and you missed seeing the free gift that was there. But it didn't make you happy. What made you happy was that you could walk so far with your eyes closed. And you wouldn't think that that would make you happy. But that's what really made you happy. What if he had found that money and took it home to his family? They'd all say, oh, goody, goody, goody. Now he can do this and that and the other thing. And do they need to do this, that, and the other thing? No. Was that important? Was that a priority in their life? No. Whose priority is it? Ours, as an observer. And we are certainly not a good observer or a good beneficiary for the man involved. But it's the way it goes. We're wonderful people. We're fantastic people. We're joyous people. We're remarkable people. But we also know that we are God. We also know that we are the creator of our world. We also know that everything we put our mind and heart to is ours right now. We also know that life's too wonderful and too beautiful for us to just dust it off by saying, Let them find the pot of gold. Let them find these things, because that makes nice stories. Now, during the Middle Ages, children were told bedtime stories by their parents or their siblings. And the bedtime stories that they were told were bedtime stories that were consistent with what was going on in the world at that moment. And what was going on in the world at that moment was plague and illness and death and poverty and lack. And the children knew that. They knew that and they experienced that. And as they knew and experienced that, they lived a life that was very cruel and very unhappy. And the children realized that that's what it was. And so they had nursery rhymes like this. Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. When the bough breaks, the cradle will drop. Down will come baby, cradle and all. Oh, rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. Who would sing such a terrible thing to babies? Well, not only the people in the medieval ages, not only people who were suffering with lack and limitation, but future generations, because those songs, the music and that poetry continues on to today. I just sang it to you now. And it is so stupid. And then, ring around the posy, ring around the rosy, pocketfuls of posies, and then it goes on and on. And then, one goes out. What happened is, one little girl died and didn't come back into the game. And then other little girls died and they didn't come back in the game. Because that was just the way it was. That was in the day of the plagues. And those come down as nursery rhymes that we have today. They come down as the nursery rhymes where they find the pot of gold. They find the pot of gold, and the pot of gold makes them very happy because it lets them live for a while. But the man who found he could keep his eyes closed and go all the way across the bridge and down the lane, he was the happiest man in the world because he told his children about it, and they said, "Daddy, can we try it again? We want to see if we can do it further. Can we, Daddy?" And, of course, Daddy says yes. Yep, these are some fantastic things that we're going through, aren't they? Some amazing, beautiful cultural things. Well, I'm sort of winding down right now, so is there anything else that anybody has to share as a discussion? We've put in about a half an hour on this, so we're doing pretty well. So if that is it, we will call it an evening, and we will prepare ourselves for dinner and prepare ourselves for the Abend evening. My German is great. Abendessen, evening meal. And what will you say when you sit at the table?
This food is healthy for my body and filled with love.
Should be. What do you say when you sit at the table?
This I surround food. Myself with
Should be.
This food is healthy for my body and filled with love.
Isn't he wonderful? Don't you all wish you had the wonderful creative mind that he has? The magical imagination that he has? Now, who wants to tell me what he said? Anybody?
This food is good to my health.
No, no. This food is healthy for my body and filled with love. It's a phrase that we're learning. This food is healthy for my body and filled with love. This food is healthy for my body and filled with love. Now, as a group, the four of us monks, we go into many restaurants. And before we eat, we quietly say, "This food is healthy for my body and filled with love." And everybody around us, all the mommies and poppies sitting there say, "What did you say?" We say, "This food is healthy for my body and filled with love." Well, where'd Jesus Christ go? Where'd God go? And where'd all the other things go? And, well, we don't have to say them. They know they did it. We just have to say what our job is on this. Oh! And what is it again? This food is healthy for my body and filled with love. Oh, that is wonderful. Oh, that is so good. Oh, that is, you've made my day. And so we usually give them a card where it's printed on it. And our name and address is printed on it too. And so they like that and they think that's just wonderful. We're fantastic beings. Thank you, Mr. Kibbe. So we'll... See you later. Enjoy yourself.